sandwich biscuits. How did such absurdity come about? Shouldn't this kind of remote control, which is unacceptable to any sovereign country, worthy of Canada's high alert and prompt Canada to adjust and avoid relevant decisions and action mechanisms? However, what people see now is that Canada still follows Washington's lead and takes the initiative to put itself in a cock position in the assembly line of Washington's suppression of China. Following this trend, Canada will be in a weaker or even humbler position in front of Washington if it walks in this direction. This is not the result that the vast majority of Canadians want to see. To a certain extent, we understand Canada's circumstances. As a neighbor of the U.S., Canada is large but sparsely populated and is heavily dependent on the U.S. both economically and for security. It can be said that its lifeblood is tightly held in the hands of the U.S. regime. All along, Washington will not hesitate to pinch Canada when it needs to. But being under pressure from the U.S. is one thing. Taking the initiative to cater to the U.S. is another. Canada is not the only country that is coerced by the U.S. regime in terms of economy and security, but many countries have not voluntarily given up their insistence in pursuit of diplomatic independence. Canada used to strike a balance in the past. It shouldn't choose to strategically lie down just because Washington is piling more pressure on it. Canada is not the 51st state of the U.S. and has no obligation and should not be willing to be Washington's political tool and vassal. It is certain that if Canada follows the U.S. in its foreign strategy, its value as a sovereign state will be severely depreciated. This devaluation is actually already happening. Under the instigation of the U.S., Canada has recently launched a series of unfriendly actions against China, disrupting normal business cooperation between Chinese and Canadian companies in the name of national security, carrying out self-destructive pan-national security operations in the mutually beneficial economic and trade field will only harm Canada's economy, but will also further damage Canada's national reputation.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to IRIB English Radio and you are listening to the program like Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We were looking at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when it comes to his sleep habits and what he says and stuff like that. There's just one quick hadith I'd like to touch upon before we go and look at a different topic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sleeps, he's been given direct instructions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, kind of sequencing in the Quran that concerns the Prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, you have to wake up for Salatul Layl. So the night prayer is compulsory on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. However, for us, it is a mustahab act. We have a hadith that says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, he used to pray Salatul Layl. All the Imams used to pray Salatul Layl. So he said, Alaykum bi Salatul Layl, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Alaykum bi Salatul Layl. I instruct you, I advise you, I want you to pray the night prayer. Why? فَإِنَّهَا سُنَّةِ نَبِيِّكُمْ For it is a tradition, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not miss his night prayer, nor did any of the Imams. Now, obviously, night prayer itself is one big topic, okay, because of the benefits of it, because of the rewards of it, and so on and so forth. So we will not be talking about that. But I thought I will mention that before we move to the next topic, because it was a tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, talking about salah, before we pray, a person has to perform wudu, right? And sometimes I do one wudu to, you know, so for example, I wake up in the morning, I do wudu for Salatul Fajr, and I stay awake all the way to Dhuhr, and I don't sleep or go to the bathroom or do anything that invalidates my wudu. And then the second salah comes, which is Dhuhr, and I pray because I'm already on wudu, just one long wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, the hadith says, he used to renew his wudu لِكُلِّ فَرِيضَةٍ وَكُلِّ صَلَةٍ So he would renew his wudu for everyone. So he prays subh, he would renew it for dhuhr, he would renew it for asr, he would renew it for maghrib, and he would renew it for isha. So every time he prays, each salah, he performs it with another wudu. This is the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Now, I do understand that a lot of people, they have work, they have, I don't know, what have you, and they can't keep performing wudu. Especially when we are combining our prayers, it's just going to be extremely hard to do wudu. But if one can, then that is a tradition and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Let us take a short break, and then we will come back right after. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Just before the break, we were saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi would do wudu for every salah. It was also narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam كان يتوضأ لكل صلاة. He would perform wudu to every salah. فَلَمَّا كَانَ عَامِ الْفَتْحِ صَلَّى الصَّلَوَاتِ بِوُضُوءٍ وَاحِدًا After the opening of Mecca, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he prayed with one wudu instead of one each time. فَقَالَ عُمَر Umar asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَنَعْتَ شَيْئًا مَا كُنْتَ صَنَعْتَهُ You've done something that you've never done before. فَقَالَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, عَمْدًا فَعَلْتُهُ I've done this deliberately. He done that just to show me and you that it is okay that we pray two salawat with one. Like I said before the break, it was good that we do it, one for each salah, but at the same time, if we don't have the capacity, if we don't have the means, the Prophet, he himself, he said, deliberately I've done this, just so people would learn from that. Imam Ali alayhi salam, كان يتوضأ لكل صلاة. The Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is a student of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he would do wudu for each salah. And he says, إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم. The Imam would recite this ayah, which Allah says, if you get up to pray, then wash your faces and stuff like that. He would recite the ayah. Al-Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, يطلب بذلك الفضل. The Imam would recite this to seek the pleasure and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ جَمَعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَهُ وَجَمَعَ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَجَمَعَ أَصْحَابَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوُضُوءٍ وَاحِدٍ. Also to emphasize that the fact that one wudu is sufficient, he said the Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and the companions, all of them, they've used one wudu for their salawat. So they can do that, obviously considering and keeping in mind that you do not do anything that will break your wudu. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Ala ahki lakum wudu wa Rasulullah. Do you want me to tell you how Rasulullah would use to perform his wudu? And they said, of course, we'd love to know. He says, فَدَعَى بِقَبْعَةٍ فِيهَا شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. The Imam, he said, bring me a container that has water in it. Then the Imam, alayhi salamullah, he put his hand in the water. ثُمَّ حَسْرَ عَنْ ذِرَاعَيْهِ. Then he removed the clothes from his arms. ثُمَّ غَمَسَ فِيهِ كَفَّهَ الْيُمْنَ. Then he put his right hand in the water. And he says, if your hand is clean, then you take it like this. Then he fills it up with water. Then he would put on his forehead and then he would say Bismillah, and then he would bring the water down all the way down to his beard. Then he would make his hand go around his face and from the sides. Then he would do it again, and then he would do the left hand this time. And then he would take it and then he would put it on his right hand, and he from the elbows, and he does it all the way to the fingers. And he would do the same thing for the left. And then he would wipe his head and his feet. The wudu that we are used to today. And he says, this is the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light. Now all I want is to be with you.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Mustafa.
The thing is, after the Prophet ﷺ, Islam was changed to such an extent that even wudu was changed. That people at the time of Uthman, which is very close to the Prophet ﷺ, people were asking, how did the Prophet used to do wudu? They were conflicting when it comes to wudu. Should we wipe our feet? Should we wash our feet? Should we wash our heads? Wipe our heads? Should we wash our hands upside down or downwards? So they were conflicting in wudu itself. The Imam alayhi salam, obviously at his time, people even got more further from the time of the Prophet, which means that this difference even got bigger. So he said, I want to show you how the Prophet used to do his wudu, and this is how he used to do it. We will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
After the shrines of Imam Reza in Mashhad and Hazrat Fatima in Qom, the third most venerated pilgrimage destination in Iran is the shrine of Shah Chiragh in the city of Shiraz. Shiraz, the city of poetry and mysticism, is a popular destination for pilgrimages and tourism, and Daesh hates that. On October 26th, a Daesh operative went on a terror attack in Shiraz and shot an employee at the Shah Chiragh shrine entrance before his rifle jammed and he was chased by bystanders. The attacker managed to fix his gun and then opened fire on his pursuers before entering a courtyard and shooting worshippers. 15 pilgrims were killed and many more injured. Several women, children and elderly folks were among the dead. Experience shows that Iran's enemies, after failing to create a split in the nation's united ranks, take revenge through violence and terror. This evil will definitely not go unanswered, and the security and law enforcement agencies will teach a lesson to those who designed the attack, President Raisi said in response to the horrific event. Indeed, this is a very rare incident to be taking place at a very important time in Iran, when security is at high alert given the recent unrest that has been taking place in the country. To take a closer look at the ramifications of the Shiraz massacre at the hands of Daesh terrorists, stay with us on this edition of Iran Today. There are many splendid Islamic monuments in Shiraz, especially its enormous Safavid mosque, but the most notable religious site is the shrine of Sayyid Amir Ahmad, a descendant of Prophet Muhammad. Known locally as Shah Chiragh, the exquisite tomb of the shrine is a place of truly stunning beauty. The enormous dome above the shrine is inlaid with hundreds of thousands of pieces of finely crafted tile, and the interior walls are likewise covered with myriad pieces of dazzling cut glass intermixed with multicolored tiles that unfortunately is now stained with the blood of the victims of the recent Daesh terrorist attack.
Fars province is a mixed province including different religions, Sunni and Shia brothers and sisters, Christians, Zoroastrians and Jews live in this province. Also, we host various ethnic groups such as Turks, Lurs, Baluch, Persians and Arabs who are present in this province and live peacefully together.
Fuad Izzati, an associate professor in the Faculty of World Studies at the University of Tehran, said the aim of the shooting was to attack worshippers. This is a Daesh trademark. They attack mosques, they attack shrines, and the last such attack to take place in Shiraz was in April 2008, when a bomb planted in a mosque killed 14 people, Izzedi said.
In 2007, the leader gave this province the title of the Third Ahlul Bayt Shrine. And after Holy Mashhad and Holy Qom, Fars province was introduced as the third shrine, the third center of attention of Shias and all Muslims, and a safe and peaceful place for people.
Several officials and bodies from across the world condemned the Shiraz terrorist attack and offered their condolences to the Iranian nation and leadership. Among them, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres strongly condemned the attack that took place on the shrine. Such acts targeting religious sites are especially heinous, Guterres said, stressing the need to bring to justice the perpetrators of this crime against civilians exercising their right to practice their religion.
The core of our problems is the terrorist production factories whose designs are done in America and Israel and so on. Their goals are to weaken the strong and powerful Iran, which is becoming more visible day by day. They are worried that Iran's strategic depth will show itself more in the world. They want to break up Iran into several pieces. They want the feeling of dissatisfaction to expand in the country. They like to see us lose our elites and valuable people with these dissatisfaction and be more busy with ourselves so that we cannot further emerge on the global scene.
So why is Daesh targeting places that are also important to Islam, such as the Shah Chiragh Shrine in Shiraz? The far-right Takfiri ideology that drives these brainwashed terrorists, according to which anything not in sync with their rigid interpretation of religion must be exterminated, is essentially designed to sow seeds of discord among Muslims and malign the image of Islam. That is precisely where the interests of Daesh and Western powers converge. It is no secret how Daesh terrorists were shipped from Iraq and Syria in military helicopters to Afghanistan to fill the vacuum left by the US-led NATO military alliance.
I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. They invaded Afghanistan, and we did not want to see them control Central Asia. And we went to work, and it was President Reagan in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats, who said, you know what, sounds like a pretty good idea. Let's deal with the ISI and the Pakistani military, and let's go recruit these Mujahideen, and let's get some to come from Saudi Arabia and other places, importing their Wahhabi brand of Islam, so that we can go beat the Soviet Union.
The enemy gets greedy to eliminate the peace of the people in this province and at the same time use this opportunity to create a rift between the government and the nation and a rift between people of different ethnicities and backgrounds. If you carefully examine contemporary history from the Constitutional Revolution until now, we clearly have seen this type of behavior at the province level and in Shiraz.
Contrary to popular perception, Daesh hasn't been decimated or consigned to the dustbin of history yet. The self-anointed Daesh regime in Iraq and Syria was annihilated by the resistance axis led by Iran's anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. But as a group and ideology, Daesh is still very much out there in Iraq, in Syria, in Afghanistan, overtly and covertly backed by Western powers. It merits a mention here that General Soleimani, who is known worldwide for his fights against Daesh, was assassinated at the direct order of the US administration. The last Daesh carnage in Iran was back in 2017 when the group targeted the mausoleum of the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Ayatollah Khomeini, and the parliament building, leaving at least 17 people dead and hundreds of others injured.
If it wasn't for the US support and then Israelis, it was possible to finish off and destroy Daesh completely. Because after all, it is their illegitimate child who fulfills the desires of those demons who play with them like puppets very well. So they won't let it happen. Sometimes their support is overt and sometimes covert. But definitely the most serious and main supporter of Daesh is the USA.
Mohammad Ramid Rashidi, the second terrorist in the attack on Shah Cheragh Shrine in Shiraz, was arrested a few days ago. According to local media, he has confessed about how he joined Daesh, communicated with its members, and planned a terrorist act that targeted visitors to the shrine.
The conditions of our country have been out of normal for the past 50 days. The unrest, together with the numerous calls for public demonstrations and the riots, took part of the power of our active security forces. On the same day of this crime, that is November 4th, we had several rally points in Shiraz. No one can ignore this issue by saying that the security forces are not busy there. Certainly, our security forces had to pay attention to the places that were marked to create unrest. But the capacities and the attention of our agents and commanders were drawn to that issue.
Rashidi, a national of one of Iran's neighboring countries, said in his confessions that he entered Iran a few months ago, noting that his uncle is the person who introduced him to Daesh. He added that his contact Abdullah used to say that the best time to carry out operations in Iran is when the riots occurred, and Shiraz was identified as the site of the operation. Based on the assessment of the security services, the planning of the terrorist operations was set to extend beyond the Shah Cheragh Shrine. The terrorist plot initially included terrorist operations and bombings in several other regions of the country. Accordingly, 2 days after the attack on Shah Cheragh, the IRGC thwarted an attempted bombing in Shiraz.
The model of the work that the enemy groups are currently using is called the lone wolves in the words of Daesh. It means that anyone can do any operational model at any point without needing a hierarchical dependency or a coherent organization to manage all the operational steps. Just go and do the operation on your own. Therefore, you see that in some places, for example, a person with a knife attacks a person, a cleric, or an effective element, for example. We cannot say that we provide protection for all our people. It's the same story about places. The model of creating insecurity in our country is used by the three groups of hypocrites, the monarchists, and the Takfir movement, the so-called self-reliant and arbitrary cause that can carry out this type of operation anywhere.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There is plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media. Here is how it looks on the news media outlets. Press TV reads, Empress of Daesh, US woman who led all-female Daesh unit sentenced to 20 years. An American woman who led an all-female Daesh unit in Syria has been sentenced to up to 20 years in prison after she pleaded guilty to terrorism charges earlier this year. Allison Fluke Akron, a 42-year-old from the Midwestern U.S. state of Kansas, committed terrorist acts in Iraq, Syria, and Libya over an 8-year period. Prosecutors described Fluke Akron as the Empress of Daesh and said she was accused of teaching women and girls as young as 10 how to use automatic weapons and detonate grenades and suicide belts. The U.S. forces have been actively involved in the Arab country under the guise of fighting Daesh, but credible reports point to a secret alliance between the two in their attempts to topple the Syrian government. Forest News publishes a report on dismantling of the terrorist cell. IRGC neutralizes terrorist cell in western Iran. Islamic Revolution Guards Corps IRGC dismantled a terrorist cell involved in making explosives and handmade bombs. The IRGC said the three members of the group who were arrested in the western border city of Ilam on Wednesday made explosive devices for attacks on military and security centers. They were linked to foreigners and planned to carry out counter-security acts and set up operational groups to direct the riots, it added. IRNA reads, Daesh's godfather liberates in Daesh style. A 1FM spokesman says, Daesh's godfather liberates in Daesh style. A 1 foreign minister spokesman says. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Nasser Kanani, has said that Daesh style liberation comes from Daesh's godfather, nothing else. In response to recent remarks by the United States President Joe Biden, Kanani tweeted on Friday that wherever the U.S. stepped in, it brought about killing, looting, and insecurity. The U.S. has been an occupier in its history and never been a liberator, the spokesman underlined, adding that Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, and so on are in front of the eyes of the nations around the region and the whole world. Daesh-style liberation comes from Daesh's godfather, nothing else. Addressing an election campaign, the U.S. president claimed on Thursday, "Don't worry, we're gonna free Iran. They're gonna free themselves pretty soon," Biden alleged in the West Coast campaign speech. The Islamic Republic of Iran has censored the United States' intervention in the Islamic country's internal affairs, ruling out a recent meeting of the U.N. Security Council on the recent unrest in West Asian state. Meanwhile, a West Asian diplomat suggested that terrorism is one of America's official means to target the stability and security of other countries, with the aim of making them give in to the pressures. Accordingly, a simultaneous action of all the enemy media, such as BBC in Persian and Iran International, attempted to make the terrorist act appear as fake. They claimed that the terrorist attack served the government in the current situation, insinuating that the government may have not done enough to prevent the terrorist operation. Joining this effort, a spokesman for the terrorist cult MKO claimed that the Iranian regime is behind this crime to prevent further demonstrations and try to calm the streets. In response to these allegations, Ali Mutahari, a former Iranian parliamentarian and now a political activist, told the local media that the Daesh attack on Iran represents a new wave of terrorist operations against it because it encourages many other terrorist organizations to target them, given the state of demonstrations and riots in the country. He added, the Daesh ideology is based largely on hostility to the Shiites, who are protected by Iran, and therefore it took advantage of the difficult period that Iran is currently going through to carry out terrorist operations that would bring it back to the arena again. It serves the Western and Israeli agenda. He said that Israel's targeting of Iran is clear, and therefore it is not surprising that Israel has used the organization to carry out such operations.
If they can't topple the government of the Islamic Republic, which they can't, but it's an excuse for the slogans they're using, that after all, Iran's government is not a people's government, so the sanctions should be intensified. In this issue of America's support for riots, you can see that we are experiencing a very cowardly, unequal American war. First of all, the principle of war today goes beyond a hard war. What we're going through these days is a cultural and ideological war. They want to change people's perspective. Based on this point of view, some people have completely misplaced their point of view.
Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic, also criticized the so-called supporters of human rights for their silence after the terrorist attack. Artin Seraidaran, a six-year-old kid, was one of the survivors of the terrorist attack, who has lost his father, mother, and brother in the atrocious attack. Ayatollah Khamenei received and comforted Artin and the family of martyred student Ali Asghar Ghavini in Tehran.
This incident that took place in the Shah Cheragh Shrine is a result of the security threats, the result of provinces' security potential in the shrine where many Shia citizens are found there, but also in a city where Sunnis live as well, Sunnis who have foreign nationals amongst them too. This terrorist attack could have created a security challenge and a religious divide in our province. The enemy took advantage of this issue.
Current Iranian authorities have been claiming that in recent unrest around the country, separatists and instigators directed by foreign governments are behind the efforts to overthrow the Islamic Republic and break Iran into areas controlled by ethnic groups. In the past, officials of the previous governments had also made similar statements. After the daily attacks by Daesh in Iran's capital Tehran in 2017, which killed 17 people, Iran's foreign minister at the time said, "We have intelligence that Saudi Arabia is actively engaged in promoting terrorist groups in Iran's eastern and western borders." He then characterized the comments made by Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman as a direct threat and a very dangerous provocation. Bin Salman had said Riyadh would bring the battle into Iran.
As has been mentioned many times in the last few months, the enemy believed that by showing the inefficiency and inciting public opinion, the path to the overthrow of the Islamic Republic system can be provided. Therefore, they start a hybrid war against our country. That is, on one hand, with the economic sanctions that have been placed with their maximum power until now, and implementation of cruel sanctions that even cut off medicines for our people. In addition, the cultural invasion measures that have been carried out for years, measures to create domestic unrest, either by ignorant or uninformed insiders.
According to Amir Abdullahian, the current foreign minister, this crime made the sinister intentions of the promoters of terror and violence in Iran completely clear. There is reliable information that the enemies have designed a multi-layered project to make Iran insecure, he added. Undoubtedly, we will not allow Iran's national security and interests to be toyed with by terrorists and foreign interventions who pretend to defend human rights.
In terms of America's support for Daesh, first of all, they openly said in the American election debates that we created it. That is, Hillary Clinton publicly admits that this is our illegitimate child that we gave birth to in the West Asian region. Let's look at the history. America, England, and Israel provide the intellectual support for Daesh. Saudi Arabia provides financial support. Jordan provides military training space for them. We have other countries in the region that at that time very easily went and bought the oil that Daesh stole from Syria and Iraq at a very low price, which became the second source of financial support for Daesh.
Meanwhile, nationwide demonstrations against a horrendous terrorist attack got underway following Friday prayers. People from all across Iran, including the provinces of Kurdistan, Mazandaran, Golestan, Lorestan, Qazvin, Semnan, and Zanjan, took to the streets after Friday prayers to express their disgust over the savage terrorist act. The demonstrators called on the officials to bring the perpetrators to justice.
Dear people, VOA, BBC, Manuto are not our friends, and the fake news and media dictatorship has impacted our judgment in a way that we aren't able to see what's right and what's wrong anymore. Actually, I was very saddened by this Daesh massacre. I saw in the news that there is a call for protest about it today after the Friday prayers, and I came for it. My response is that these incidents have been designed to break up the country. People should be careful not to get fooled.
My reason for being here today is to remind America, Israel, England that with the riots they have created, they can't take away our freedom or by blooding our country like they did a few days ago at Shah Cheragh. Because of these riots, that many of it were organized by the enemy, it is very clear and obvious. I'm also disturbed by my fellow Iranians who are still not awakened by all these situations. They're in deep sleep, it seems. As a young person, I think it's not very hard to figure it out, understand the difference between our enemies and those who have well wishes for us.
These riots and incidents can lead to a heavy civil war like Syria. I remember real well how the war was in Syria at first. There was the Freedom Army, and then Al-Nusra, and then Daesh. Their goal is to plunder the oil from our countries by creating civil wars. Because their energy resources are limited. So let's support the government and not be fooled by the meddling foreigners.
Furthermore, Iranians held separate mourning rituals and funerals around the country to pay their respects to the victims of a terrorist attack. High-ranking government and military officials, as well as citizens from all walks of life, attended a significant burial ceremony at the holy shrine in Shiraz, capital of Fars province.
I'm sharing the atmosphere of the past 50 days, the heaviest media battle against a government and a nation in the history of the world. Well, the result was that a part of the agents and officials, a part of our people, were now involved in these issues and disturbances and unrest in different strata, and they were harmed by it. And as I mentioned before, the officials and people in charge were committed to try as much as possible to reduce the damage. As for the damage caused by the riots in Fars province, thank God we had a very good operation with the correct understanding of the people and correct field management. I say this proudly, the city of Shiraz, God willing, will continue on this path. With correct understanding of the people's conditions, correct information, correct management of scenes and processes, we have experienced the least incidents of insecurity in Fars province.
Today, people with their fervent presence at the funeral prove that they are united, empathetic, and want order and security. Government spokesman Ali Bahadur Jahromi told the media on the sidelines of the funeral ceremony. The participants held up photos of the martyrs, especially the children, and chanted slogans against the terrorists and their supporters. They also demanded that those behind the vicious act be brought to justice as soon as possible.
Regarding the riots, this has become very clear. Check the media and the conversations in general. It's quite clear that the President of the United States, Mr. Biden, officially announces that, unlike the previous governments, we support the unrest in Iran that President Raisi answered, that we will liberate Iran. It means that a government is speaking against an official government that is a member of the United Nations. Well, naturally, it's clear that these people provide the economic base of the unrest. They even use the maximum capacity in supplying necessities in lines and directions.
After the funeral procession in Shiraz, the bodies were flown to the northeastern city of Mashhad, which houses the shrine of the 8th Shia Imam, where tens of thousands of people bid farewell to the victims. That's all for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do tune in again at the same times next week and each week after. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we have again, alhamdulillah, some of the students of Sevier International School with us in this session. And before we start the class, let me say hello to each of them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah, and how are you?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salam, salam.
I'm fine, how are you?
Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Welcome. And Hassan Nasrullah, how are you doing?
Salaam alaikum, sir.
Salaam alaikum.
I'm fine, sir.
Okay.
How are you?
That's great. Thank you so much. Welcome. So, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we really recommend you stay with us till the end of the session. Inshallah, you will benefit and we all will benefit from the verses of the Quran Kareem. So, Brother Hassan and Hussein, today, inshallah, we'll be working on Ayah 58 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And I really want everyone who are listening to us, brothers and sisters, grab your Quran and go to Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 58. Inshallah, we'll be working on this ayah, and make sure you stay with us till the end of this session. Before we start, let's listen to this ayah once, everyone.
فكلوا منها حيث جئتم رغدا وادخلوا الباب سجدا وقولوا حطة نغفر لكم خطاياكم وسنزيد المحسنين.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. I loved it. How about you, brothers?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So now I will be reciting, and make sure you listen and repeat after me, all right? And brothers and sisters who are listening, please listen, okay? And repeat after us. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَٰذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَٰذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا
فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا
فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا
وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نغفر لكم خطاياكم
وادخلوا الباب سجدا وقولوا حطة نغفر لكم خطاياكم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله وسنزيد المحسنين
وسنزيد المحسنين
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you, brothers. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ That Qariya, when Prophet Musa alayhi salam and his nation, okay, were there, and Allah Almighty were telling them that وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا When we said, enter this town, that town was Jerusalem, okay? Or Palestine, okay? Jerusalem. And فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شَئِتُمْ رَغَدًا And eat thereof freely whensoever you wish. Okay, whatever you want, go and eat, okay? In that قَرْيَة, in that town. وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا And enter the bab, the door, okay? The door of the masjid of Baytul Muqaddas, okay? Baytul Muqaddas, okay? وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا While prostrating. This prostrating here means while you are giving thanks to Allah Almighty. Okay? That has given you a new chapter of life. That has given you like a new like beginning or a new place, okay, to live. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ And say حِطَّة. حِطَّة means forgive us, okay? And make tawbah while you enter. نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَايَاكُمْ If you say this, we will forgive you your mistakes, we will forgive your inquiries, okay, and the mistakes. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And soon we will enhance the virtuous, okay? We will extend, for example, or expand the thawab, the rewards of those who are muhsinin, those who are the right doers. One thing here I have to mention in the next ayah as well we have, Allah Almighty told them to say hitta, right? While prostrating, they have to say hitta. In the next ayah we'll read that, Unfortunately, they didn't listen to Allah Almighty. They changed the word of hitta to hinta. Hitta to hinta. They said another word, okay? Then Allah Almighty sent them azab, okay? Why? Because they are changing the rules of Allah Almighty. Whatever Allah Almighty says to them, they do not listen, they do whatever they want. So of course they deserve punishment. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
That's my point. The explanation of this ayah, it's too much, okay? We don't want to enter. We really want you to refer to the Tafsir book. Now, the Tajweed rules, which are our main topic, we'll focus on. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دَخُلُوا وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دَخُلُوا قُلْنَا أَلِفْ مَدْ, right? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
And then the next word starts with?
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دَخُلُوا
حَمْزَةُ الْوَسْلِ.
Yes.
The next word starts with Hamzatul Wasl. You remember the rule that when we have Alif Mad, Waw Mad, or Ya Mad, simply Harful Mad, plus Hamzatul Wasl, do we have to produce the do we have to still prolong the sound of Harful Mad? Qulna, because we have to skip Hamzatul Wasl.
Yes.
Qulna dukhulu. Is that right?
No.
We have to skip this mad sound.
Yes.
We have to put it like a short a e u sound. Qulna, not na. Qulna dkhulu, right? Qulna dkhulu. Make sure. The rule says this: if we have harful mad plus hamzatul wasl, here, if you want to skip hamzatul wasl, okay, you want to join the words together, so of course you have to skip hamzatul wasl. So in this case, you do not have to prolong the sound of harful mad.
Yes.
Say them with short vowel sound.
Yes.
That's it. That's the rule, okay? And dal has a sukoon on the top. So it means you have to produce a bouncing sound or kind of tickle it, okay? Tickle it, it will jump up, okay? So, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دَخُلُوا. Hassan, read it. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دَخُلُوا.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دَخُلُوا.
أحسنتم. Now, the word starts with Hamzatul Wasl. If you start with the word أدخلوا, that I said already how to pronounce it, so because the third letter has a dhamma, the Hamzatul Wasl, if you want to start from this word. So the Hamzatul Wasl will be assigned with
Dhamma.
Udkhulu, right? Udkhulu. But because you join them together, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا with Udkhulu, so Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا دُخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. Nun sakin plus ha. فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. What rule is applied? Merge, change, hide, no rule.
No rule.
No rule is applied. Why? No rule is equal to idhar. Idhar is applied. We mean there is no change, there is no hide, there is no merge. So it's called idhar. Because ha is from the throat letters. Minha. Haythu shi'tum ragadan. Ragadan. Tanween. Plus, next word starts with waw. Tanween plus waw tells you to apply the rule.
Tanween plus waw.
Waw is from your malun letters.
You merge.
Yeah, merge them. The rule, idgham. Idgham with ghunna or without ghunna?
With
nasal sound or without?
With.
Ragadan. Read it, Hussein.
Ragadan.
Ahsan. Ragadan. Ghain is a heavy letter. Ragadan, two heavy letters. Ra, ga, da. Ragadan. Do it.
Ragadan.
Ahsantum. Next, وَدْخُلُوا حَمْزَةُ الْوَاسِلِ Skip it. Dal, qalqala. Bouncing sound.
رَغَدًا وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ
Again, the example of mad letter plus حَمْزَةُ الْوَاسِلِ we have. وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ Right? Hassan, do you see that? وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ Now you have to skip that حَمْزَةُ الْوَاسِلِ You have to say وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ Now, we have U sound. وَدْخُلُوا وَأُمَدْ Two counts, yeah?
Yes.
U, not U. U. So, here, because you have Hamzatul Wasl, and you skip Hamzatul Wasl, you have to also skip the mad of U sound. Put a Dhamma only. وَدْخُلُوا لُلْ Not لُلْ بَ وَدْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدَ If you stop here, سُجَّدَ Tanween, Fatha will be changed to?
Alif ma.
Alif ma. Sujjada. Instead of saying sujjada, sujjadan, sujjada. Waqulu. If you do not stop, if you continue reading, so of course, tanween fatha plus waw, you merge them.
Yes.
Sujjadan. Okay. Waqulu hittatun. Tanween dhamma plus noon idgham. Hittatun aghfir lakum. خطاياكم. The baby jim on the top tells you you can
stop
or
continue.
Both are allowed.
Yes.
Both are the same. وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ That's all in this ayah. So there is no other rules, okay? The important rules we just mentioned. Make sure, inshallah, you practice and also listen again to our today's session if you didn't know any of them. So practice, inshallah, for the explanation. We said we didn't have much time, so you refer to the Tafasir book because there are long explanations. Thank you so much. Stay with us, please, in the coming sessions as well. We'll be here with you, inshallah, at the same time. Once more, I give thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network. Thanks, Hassan and Hussein, for being with us today. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahiri.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.